Lord God, please let all that I say come from you through me and out to others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. Good morning. Happy 4th of July weekend. So, this morning I thought I would start with a little story. Many years ago, there was a businesswoman who had retired and decided that she would devote some of her time volunteering as a parish administrator. She wanted to reconnect with the church. She really wasn't a regular churchgoer, hadn't gone much her whole life. But she did have some skills the church needed. She had really good communication and layout skills, and so she went. And the first job that they gave her to do was to lay out a new pew card. So she worked with the rector, and she laid the card out. And the rector went home, and about an hour later, she gets a phone call, and he says, "You know what? I really think I want to put one of my favorite quotes on the front of the card. Can you fit that in? Will that be okay?" And she said, "Yeah, sure, I can do that." So she dutifully keyed in the quote as he gave it to her on the phone, ran spell check, adjusted the layout, off to the printer it went. A little over a week later, there were two ushers who were changing out the pew cards and checking everything in the pews and putting the new cards in. The one usher says to the other one, "Wow, the rector really made a pretty bold stewardship statement here." And he says, "Well, what are you talking about?" He says, "Well, did you see the front of the pew card? It says right here that the church was founded on the apostles and the prophets." P-R-O-F-I-T-S. Well, this morning I do want to talk a bit about the prophets, but let me be clear, this is not a stewardship sermon, so it's going to be P-R-O-P-H-E-T-S. I'm going to talk about those prophets. But there are a couple little controversial things I want to clear out of the way. I don't want you walking out of here saying, "Well, you know, there was something funny in Mark's gospel I wonder about." Two things came up. One of them was this big question about, did Jesus have biological brothers and sisters? And I think that some people, from what I read, say that, yes, Mary and Joseph had other children. While others said, no, we think that those are children from Joseph's other marriage. And yet others say, no, 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 those were his cousins. Those were the children of Mary's sister. We are not going to solve this 1,000-plus-year-old argument in 10 minutes this morning. But for me, I think that Jesus was the Son of God. And you know, if he had other brothers and sisters by Mary and Joseph, I think that's okay with me. But for right now, we're going to move on. There's one other controversy. The language about Jesus going into his own hometown and being rejected and not being able to cure people. There seems to be a big issue over, did he lose his power? Is there something missing here? And you know, all of the three Gospels, the three Synoptic Gospels, discuss this a little bit differently in different places. Even John mentions it in his prologue. Mark doesn't mince words, though. Mark gets right to the point. He said this is about belief and unbelief. This is about understanding and not understanding. When I read it, I really thought maybe this is about Jesus being a little bit disheartened at the rejection. And I think maybe that that's where the key was. If I were to put it in modern language, I would say, we say it this way, you can't go home again. Because what happens when you go home is you end up standing in the shadow of your former self. And in Jesus' case, he grew up there as a boy. It was tough for him to overcome that. This is year B. We hear from Mark. One of the most famous things that you hear when somebody says the Gospel of Mark, first thing somebody usually thinks of is this: let anyone with ears to hear listen. And that came to me when I was reading Ezekiel. And I was able to marry Mark with Ezekiel, and here's the point about prophets. What it says if you marry those together is this: let anyone with ears to hear listen, whether you hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that there has been a prophet among them. Some of these words came from Mark, some came from Ezekiel. They were different words given to different people at different times, but the meaning is really the same. And that's where I found the connection. Pay attention, everybody, and listen, because there are prophets among us right here, right now, in this time. The prophets weren't in the Bible and back then and locked away there, and that's all that there were. There are prophets among us now. And I'll tell you what, a prophet is not without honor except in their hometown. And that is really, really true. I can hear the people now saying, really, this was Jesus? That was that kid, that troublemaker kid? Really, he's the one who's here? He's the one saying all of these things? And I think part of it is that we expect really important people to be from somewhere else. We tend to devalue the things that are familiar to us. And we don't see the diamonds in our own backyard. We have trouble finding the extraordinary in the ordinary. We think of ourselves as ordinary. But I can tell you, if you look for it, the extraordinary is there. So how many prophets were there in the Bible, in the Old Testament or the New? Anybody know? Found that there are 17 books. There are the long books of the major prophets, like Isaiah and Ezekiel. There are the short books, or the minor prophets, like Zechariah and Malachi. The New Testament seems to name all the disciples as prophets, and of course John the Baptist, who's half the time mistaken for the Messiah or considered crazy. But do you suppose that those are the only prophets of the time? That was it? Just that box that ended up getting in print? I don't think so. And I don't think that there are prophets among us who are unrecognized. I think there are a lot of prophets who are unrecognized by us today. We could name some of the front runners for us, though, like Gandhi, Martin Luther King, Robert Kennedy, Maya Angelou, Nelson Mandela, Mother Teresa, Pope Francis. How about John Stewart? Maybe. I haven't had any one-on-one experience with these big prophets, but I can tell you that I believe that there have been prophetic voices in my own life. Prophecy is not always a lightning bolt. Sometimes it comes to us in the words of a child. And indeed, if we are connected to one another, then maybe we are the prophetic voices to each other sometimes. One prophetic voice in my life was that of Mrs. Alice Wilder. I met Alice when she was 94 years old, and I visited her in a nurse home about every Sunday for 3 years. And she would sit and ask me questions about what was going on in the world and the news of the day and things. And one particular day, we'd gone through most of the usual subjects. And when she had finished asking me questions, she looked at me and she said, "Well, do you have any questions for me?" I thought about it and went, "Yeah, sure. What is the meaning of life?" And she got very quiet. And she sat back and she looked right at me. And she said, "You do the best you can and you leave the rest to God. That is the meaning of my life." And you know, I have held those words in my heart for decades. And that is the meaning of my life, too. The words of the prophets do come to us in different places, in different ways. God puts his words on the lips of people in very unexpected places. But we have to be willing to hear those words. Our ears, with anyone with ears to hear, listen, our ears have to be ready to hear it. Our mind has to understand it. And then we have to go out and do the work that God's given us to do. Last week, I think there's some evidence at General Convention that the Episcopal Church heard the word and acted upon it. And the evidence is in some of the resolutions they passed. One of them was on marriage. But the one that I found really interesting that relates to today, our gospel today and our scripture today, is the one about evangelism. And what it said was, by an overwhelming majority, a resolution was passed that states, remember, this message is for all of us, we want our church to be about evangelism, making disciples, and sending apostles. And if we do that, I can guarantee we will be rejected. There are prophets around us. Even Simon and Garfunkel in the song The Sound of Silence said, the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls and the tenement halls. We just have to have the ears to hear and to listen. The gospel, Jesus called the 12. He sent them out. He gave them awesome gifts to expel demons and to heal the sick. And he said to them, go out. Don't take all the usual trappings with you to go on a trip. Don't wear two cloaks. Don't do this or that. Just go out and trust me. And trust is a really hard thing to do. I mean, this is impossible. It's really hard. It's hard for me. It's hard for us, I think. I think we tend to be self-reliant. And so when God tells us, go out and do this work, and we hear these words, we have to let go. We have to trust. What they said in Paul said in Corinthians this morning was, God's grace is sufficient. And when we're afraid to go out, we have to remember that it is in our weakness that God's power shines through. And I think that's really important to remember. We can trust in God completely. Trust that God's going to take care of things. And I'll tell you, it takes faith and grace. And from where I'm standing right now, for me, it took a little bit of crazy. We're human. We want to do this. We want to hear all these messages. In my life, I've heard lots and lots of prophetic messages. God has told me to do many, many things. And depending on whether my ears could hear or whether or not I was willing, I kind of compartmentalized them. I got a message from God. I looked at it. I thought, this can't be for me. So I stuck it in one of those pigeonhole slots like in the post office. You know, they would come in and I'd look at them and thinking, he can't mean he wants me to go do miraculous things. He must not be talking to me. This can't be for me. And I would file them. And if I had to label those pigeonholes that I would file all those messages that God gave me, they would probably be labeled like this. I coulda, I shoulda, I didn't, I won't, I can't. My own inadequacies. I have to have those words and be reminded that I am enough, that God's grace is enough for me. Trust is the key. So Jesus tells his apostles, go out into the town, trust in God. And if you hear the message, if someone hears the message and accepts it, that's the easy part. If somebody hears the message and rejects you, that's the part of the gospel that I found really interesting, because rejection is personal. We don't like to be rejected. We take it personally. And when we do that and we hang on to the memory of it, we build a resentment and we carry it with us. And I think that's why the gospel tells us today, if you are rejected by any, leave that place. But before you do, shake the very dust off your sandals. That's a message for us today, too. It's tough to be a Christian. This is hard work. This is not easy. And if we are rejected for what we're doing, we need to shake the dust off our sandals. Because if we carry it with us, I can guarantee you one thing. Resentment will build. It will build, and it will become a heavy burden, and it will drag us down. That dust of resentment will build, and it will clog our ears to the next messages, the prophetic messages that God has for us. And if it builds enough, I think the weight of it will crush our spirit. So we have to remember to just shake the dust off. Get rid of that resentment. Go forward and trust in God. So here we go. You have to beware when you go out to do God's work that there are people who will try to play you for fools. This isn't easy. They will hate you for what you do. Christians are not popular everywhere. So you will be played and you will be hated, and you just need to know, I'm going to let this go. So I'm going to leave you today with some words of a modern-day prophet, Taylor Swift. Because a player is going to play, and a hater is going to hate. I'm just going to shake it off. Amen.